I didn't want to put that thing on too soon. I didn't want anybody to hear me singing. Jeez Louise. Oh, I love that song. How's everybody this morning? Good. Everybody have a good week? Awesome, awesome. Well, obviously, Jay is not here, our chief storyteller. If you're from here, you know that. But if you're not, let me just be the first to welcome you if you haven't been welcomed yet. We are excited that you're here with us this morning. And even if you have been coming here a long time, we're excited that you're here as well. I'm excited for the opportunity to get to share with you guys a little bit of my heart and a little bit about just what God's been speaking to me here lately, a little bit in my own life. As you guys know, kind of going back to JJ's gone. He's probably in the Philippines about right now. Is that right? Brian, is he in the Philippines right now? If you're new here and you don't know, Jay, our head chief storyteller is what we call him. We don't call him our head pastor. He's our chief storyteller. But we get the opportunity to share him with another church in the Philippines. And about once a month, he goes there and he teaches at that church. And they've got an awesome mission organization over there where they partner with the Bukalo missionaries. They've got a coffee plantation, and we have the awesome privilege of getting to kind of share in that and share him. And I know it's for some people who are new or some people who are just starting to come here, you're like, why is he gone again? But it's really awesome. It's really cool that we get to share him, and that we, unfortunately for me, have to have other guys come up here and share. But it really is. It's an awesome privilege. So before we get started, I just want to pray, mostly for me, not so much for you. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this morning. We thank you that we know you. We thank you for the privilege of just being able to stand before you and praise your name. We thank you for this group of people that are here this morning. All the people here who love you, all the people who are not here, Lord, and who don't know you, we just lift them up, Lord. We pray that once we leave here today, that there would be fewer people that don't know you, Lord. We pray that that this message that you speak, I pray that you would speak through me. I pray that I would get out of the way, and I pray that your words would sink into our hearts, that it wouldn't be just knowledge that we walk away with today, Lord, but I pray for changed hearts. Pray for a boldness. I pray, Lord, that you would truly use us to be your hands and feet. We thank you, and we are just in awe of your goodness and your grace and your mercy, and we thank you most of all for your son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. So, if you guys know, if you've been here any time in the past year, we have been in Ephesians since the beginning of the year. The title of Ephesians has been what? Sit, walk, stand, right? That we are seated in the heavenly realms of Christ, in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, and we walk. We walk is about walking in a way that is worthy, that we understand these awesome changes that have taken place in our lives because we're seated with the King. And so we've just kind of started on the stand, and then next year we're going to jump into stand. Maybe it should be sit, walk, jump, stand, but it's sit, walk, stand, which sounds backwards, but next year we're going to get into stand, which means that we're just going to be standing and facing against the enemy. We're going to be standing against him. We're going to get into all kinds of stuff, a little bit of spiritual warfare stuff, all kinds of stuff. I'm excited to kind of get into that, but we are a little ways from that. So last week, if you were not here, by the way, please get on. We have a podcast. We have a YouTube. There's a hair. I am so sorry. I was about to gag. I don't even know whose it was. It could have been mine because mine's falling out a lot fast. But anyway, where was I? Sorry. I was super distracting. Jay taught on Ephesians 7 and 10. And it was an awesome message. So if you get an opportunity, please go back and watch that. We also learned during that time that you never want to do a jigsaw puzzle with Jay. He is an evil man. I mean, I don't know who does that. For those of you who weren't here, like, he does it like if his family's doing a jigsaw puzzle, like he walks up and he takes one piece, like when no one's looking, and puts it in his pocket and just walks away. Like, who does that? That is poor faith. And then, you know, as they're trying at the end of the puzzle, they don't have this thing, and he thinks he's the hero and he finds the piece and gives it to him. But anyway, jacked up. I don't know who does that. But anyway, he tied that into the puzzle of life. He talked about the puzzle of life and that we all have these different pieces of the puzzle so that we all need each other to complete the puzzle. We don't have all the gifts to make life work. That I have some of the gifts, that you have some of the gifts, she has some of the gifts. And we all need each other to do life together. To put this puzzle of life together, we need each other. And it's part of why we go to church. So that we can, every week, we can get a little bit more of the puzzle to put together and see how it fits in our own life. It was a great message. Please go back and listen to it if you haven't. So we're ready to actually pick up on verse 11, Ephesians 4 and 11. And it is such a good one. But if you want to hear, you're going to have to come back next week. Because we are not teaching on Ephesians. We're taking a break from Ephesians. But I wanted to just remind you, because 2 weeks is a long time to kind of think about what we preached about 2 weeks ago. So come back next week so you can hear what Ephesians 4:11 is, where it's going to pick up. Because it's a good one. So you don't want to miss that. So what we're going to be talking about today, or before we get into what we're talking about today, anybody have an idea? What did, when the early believers got together, what did they often ask for? When they prayed, what did they ask God for? Forgiveness? Safety? Knowledge? Well, I want to look at a couple passages real quick, and they're not going to be up there, but I'm just going to, if you've got your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 6, 19 through 20. It says, pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And turn to Acts 4:29 if you're quick. Acts 4:29 says, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. More than anything, if you look back, if you look throughout Acts, if you look at the early church, they prayed for boldness. They constantly asked God to make them bold. Throughout Acts, we see it time and time again. Paul and Peter, who are two of the most fearless guys maybe ever to ever walk on the planet, they prayed for boldness. And so I just want to ask us as a church and ask you as an individual, like, when was the last time that you prayed for boldness? And as believers, what do you think keeps us from being bold? What keeps us from being bold? How about fear? If you don't have it, I mean, we sang a lot about fear. So I'm sure you knew that was coming. Fear, right? Raise your hands if you've ever struggled with fear. Everybody who didn't raise their hand is just too afraid that somebody was going to look at them and see them. So everyone, right? Everyone struggles with fear, right? I know as a kid, I remember that I was scared to death of the dark. We used to, whenever I was in kindergarten through sixth grade, we lived in Iberia, and we lived out in the country. Our nearest neighbor, you couldn't even see him. And so Dad had given me the job of, I had to burn the trash. We had burn barrels. That's how far out in the country where we burn stuff, which was an awesome job for a 10-year-old kid. We had to burn stuff, which was awesome as long as I burned it during the day. But there was times when I'd forget to burn it, or I would do something else, and then Dad would get home, and it'd be dark, and I'd have to take the trash out and burn it. Well, the trash burn barrels were a long ways down. They were over by the woods, and it was dark, and I just remember being terrified of the darkness. So I would sprint down there, and I would try to light it, and then I'd run it, and I'd run back up, and inevitably, it wouldn't light, and I'd have to go back down there. But I struggled with being fear of the dark. Was being afraid of the dark, was that something valid? Was that something I should be afraid of? No. What's in the darkness? We all struggle with types of fears, right? Everybody has struggled with something, some part of their life with fear. I just want you guys to take for just a second, I want you to think about what are you truly most afraid of? Don't tell your neighbor, but just kind of think to yourself. I'm not talking about the dark here. I'm not talking about snakes or spiders. Well, maybe spiders, because spiders are for sure from Satan, but real fears. Your fear of rejection, fear of losing your security, fear of not being able to provide for your family, losing someone, the fear of disappointing. Is there anything that you're truly afraid of or afraid that might happen in your life? I just want you to think about that for a second. Be honest with yourself. You know, I've never gotten to the point in my life where I never struggle with fear. Where I'm like, yeah, I got that one whipped. I don't have to worry about fear. I was scared to death just walking up here. My heart was beating so fast, I was ready to pee myself or throw up. But why? I mean, why was I afraid? You know, my job isn't to give a great message or entertain you or not to convict you. My job isn't that. My job is to be obedient. That's what God's going to do all that. Doesn't matter if I come up here and speak all over myself. He can take my words and change people's hearts. So what am I worried about? If we're not careful, we allow fear to creep in our world often. And if you're really honest with yourself, I think that you'll believe me that that's true. So why are we fearful? Why are we afraid? Where does it come from? Where did it start, right? Like where did fear start? And I always, you know, we always go back and blame everything on Adam and Eve because we would have messed it up eventually, but it's true. Let's go back and look. If we go back and look at before the fall, right? Before the fall, there was nothing to fear. There was only goodness. There was no anxiety. Just goodness and oneness with God. They were with God. They didn't have fear. There was no death. There was no anxieties. But then what happened? The fall happened, right? They decided to listen to Satan, and they ate the fruit. And right after that, this is what God says. I want to read this to you. It's Genesis 3:19. This is God speaking to Adam. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. What's God saying? He's saying you're going to die, right? He's saying you're going to die. Before this, there was nothing bad, let alone death. Like the fear of death, even in today's world, is scary whenever oftentimes people, it's one of the greatest fears, people are scared of death. Can you imagine how scared they must have been? Nothing bad had ever happened, and now he's saying you're going to die. From dirt you came, and dirt you will return. At that point, death and decay enter the world. And death and decay turn into fear and anxiety. We also know that our peace comes, where does it come from? It comes from knowing God. It comes from knowing God and being with God, right? Like that's where we get our peace, is when we know God and we're with God. And at that point, Adam and Eve, they had been with God the whole time. And now they're being cut off. Our sin, what happened right there, and sin entered the world, and from that moment, we were cut off from God. And so at that point, everything changed. We were cut off from him. So fear, just like everything else that is evil in this world, or not of God, it entered the world at that moment. Fear doesn't come from God. It's an instrument that the enemy uses. It often keeps us from accomplishing all the things that God has in store for us. And there's a lot that he has in store for us that we miss out. We're gonna talk a little bit more about that later. So what does the Bible actually say about fear? Again, it says a whole lot. It actually commands us to not be afraid and to fear not. And you know, it actually does that over 70 times in the Bible. In the NIV, it actually commands us not to be afraid over 70 times. It talks about fear over 200 times, but it actually commands us to do it 70 times. So obviously, we're not going to be able to touch on everything. Like we would take a whole year. The message today isn't going to be exhaustive on fear, because there's just too much that God says about it. But it talks about it over 70 times. We just want to look at just a few of them really quick, what it says. Isaiah 43:1. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Hebrews 13:5-6. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Joshua 1:7-9. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Psalm 34. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all of my fears. John 14:20. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And the last one, Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You guys get the point, right? He's commanding us not to be afraid. It's pretty evident. I mean, there's 70 of these. We could spend the rest of the day reading all the verses of him commanding us not to be afraid. He doesn't say, well, try and not be afraid. He says, be courageous. Don't be afraid. And yeah, I know some of you are thinking, yeah, there is this thing, well, God commands us to fear him, and you're right. But we don't have enough time today to get into all that. We're not going to break all that down. But throughout Scripture, we're called to fear God. You're correct. It's a little bit of a different type of fear. It's a part of fear that is a respect and reverence for God. But it's also a healthy fear and understanding. When I live outside of the will of God, there's consequences, and there should be fear involved in that. It's similar to my children when they disobey me, that there should be a healthy fear from them, because they know that there's going to be consequences, because I love them and I know what's ultimately best for them. But we're not going to go there. We don't have time to unpack all of that. But just know the Bible commands us to not be afraid, except to be afraid of, to fear God. So what does Jesus say specifically about fear? What does Jesus say specifically about fear? And it's kind of hard. Or it's easy to read, it's not very easy to actually do. So Jesus, he wants to come alongside of us. He wants to kind of put our arm around us, and then he wants us to walk straight through that fear. And then he wants us to, as we walk through the fear, and then we turn around, and he wants us to kind of show us, look back and show us that, see, you didn't have anything to be afraid of. I was right here with you. You didn't have anything to be afraid of. But when you're walking through that, it's unbelievably scary, right? Put up there Matthew 6:25. You turn your book, or you can read up here, Matthew 6:25-34. It says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. Do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? So what's Jesus talking about here? He's talking about, he's talking about a lot of things, but he's talking about the priorities of life. Jesus is saying, be careful what you give, what value you give to certain things. Be careful of what value you give to certain things. If you give too much value to certain things, then fear is going to creep in and be a part of your life. What are some things that we put too high a value on? Money. There's some easy ones like money, right? And money's important, right? Money's important. Nobody's raising their hand. You're afraid of, we're going to do a special offering. We're not going to do a special offering. Money's important. I mean, a little bit important. And we use it to buy food, clothing, shelter. But you better not make money too important. You make it too important, then fear and anxiety set in. It's going to weigh on you. How about our things, our stuff? Things like cars and our houses and our clothes, as the scripture said. I know for us, whenever we built a house about 4 or 5 years ago, and we first moved in, it was like, oh, you know, a kid, you know, we got kids running everywhere, and they're wild, and it's like, oh, you know, you can't do this, and you can't do that. Well, after a few years, like in the last couple years, you know, all the paint's all scuffed up, everything, and it's not that nice anymore. We've got like full-on soccer games, full-on volleyball games, but 5 years ago, myself and Natalie would have had a heart attack. But now it's like kids are jump serving in the living room. But that's because we perceive the value to be less than what it was. It's the same thing, right? You drive an old car or you drive an old boat. You're not that worried about it getting dinged up. But you got a new nice one or expensive one. It's like, oh, you know, you're polishing it up. You're making sure that everything is, you know, you get a little nick in it and you're heartbroken. Be careful of what we put value on. Be careful how much value we put on certain things. Those things are pretty easy to understand why I shouldn't put that much value on those. But how about things like this? How about our spouse? Some of you are saying, that's easy. I don't put much value on my spouse. But honestly, our spouses. How about one maybe that hits a little bit more home? How about our children? Anybody ever become fearful or worry about anything concerning your children? Like if you've had a kid, everybody? If not, I want to be like, I don't know, certainly everybody, right? Like we worry about how we're going to protect them from this crazy world, these crazy people, these bullies, internet porn, drugs, auto accidents. When they're little, we're worried they're going to fall down. You know, I mean, all this thing. How am I going to keep them in this little protective bubble, right? How am I going to protect them from everything? The reality is you can't. And the reality is it's not your job. Sure, it's your job to help protect them, but ultimately it's not. You can't add 1 hour to their life. Children are a gift from God. They are His. I have to constantly remind myself that He loves them way more than I ever could. That He's got them. And He did give them to me. He gave them to me to raise them up in His ways and to help protect them, but not to fear over every little thing that could possibly happen to them. We have this picture frame thingy on the wall that's usually on the wall if it doesn't get knocked down by a ball, but it's in the living room, and it's a constant reminder to me. It's Psalm 127:3, and it says, children are a heritage from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children born in one's youth. They're like little arrows to be shot out into the world and to be sharing the good news and to be sharing God's love with everyone. But if we're holding on so tight to them, we can't shoot them out there, right? If we're so worried about them, we're never going to let them do anything. We're going to keep them kind of under our protection. They're not to be hovered over like they're little China dolls. Or they're never going to fall and scrape their knee, or they're never going to make a mistake. Train them up in the world, raise them up, and then shoot them out into the world. And that's scary, I know. We just launched our first one, and she's 7 hours away in Nashville, and it's scary. It's like you don't know what she's doing, and you don't know, but at the end of the day, God's got her. And that doesn't mean we don't do anything, right? It doesn't mean it's just like, well, we sit back and if God's got it, then God's got it, and I don't got to do anything, right? No, that's dumb. It's just that we shouldn't be afraid. If we're living in God's will, then we shouldn't be afraid. If you decide to let your kids play in the street, like, you should be afraid. That's dumb. If you decide that you're going to go jump on a 100-foot cliff into the water, like, there should be some fear with that. There's a good chance that that's not going to turn out so well. But that's not what we're talking about. I'm pretty sure that that's not God's will for your life. If you decide to give your kid a phone without any guidelines or without any safety nets, you should probably be afraid. If you choose not to raise your kid up in the Word of the God, in the Word, like, you might want to be afraid. But the thing that we're getting at here is that kids are awesome. They are awesome. Yes, they are. But if you make them too important, if you make them the one thing, that's where fear sets in. Be careful what value you give things. Watch your priorities. When you don't, fear sets in. And eventually fear, it actually sucks the joy out of all those things that you're trying to hold on so tightly to. It sucks the joy out of parenting. It sucks out of the joy out of being married. It sucks the joy out of all those things that God intended to be good, but not the best. So don't give things, even if they're good things, too much importance. That's what we call idolatry. And that's what happens. Would you put up Matthew, you got it, 28, okay. All right, thanks. I don't have a clicker. They never give me a clicker. They don't ever trust me with a clicker. So he said it was broke, but I'm not buying it. He didn't want me to have a clicker. So Matthew 6:28, let's read it. It says, "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" So the tool or weapon that he's given us here to fight fear is faith. Is faith that God is ultimately good and worth trusting. What do we believe about God? Do we believe that he knows what's good for our lives? Do you believe that he knows more than we do, even though it doesn't feel like it's good? He's telling us right here, he's telling us to trust him. He's saying, "I love you so much more than the birds and the fields, yet I take care of them. Why do you worry about such things?" It comes down to whether or not we believe that God is good. Do we ultimately believe he's good? Do I know what is best for my life, or does he? So just keep that in the back of your mind. We know that fear entered the world through the fall. We know that fear is not from God. We know that God commands us to not be afraid. We become afraid when we place too high of a value or importance on things other than God. And the weapon God gave us to fight fear is faith in him and a true belief that he is good. Now, I want to go back for just a second. We talked about things that we sometimes fear, things that we sometimes put too much value on. But I didn't feel, we didn't actually talk about the one thing, I feel like the one thing that is probably the most debilitating fear that we have in our society today. It's the thing that I believe as believers that we struggle with the most, and it's the thing I believe that Satan uses the most to keep us from doing God's will. And as I was thinking about it, I wasn't really sure how to label it. And what it comes down to is, I think, is fearing what others think of us. Now, how silly is that, to fear what other people think about us? You know, we can say that we fear, you know, offending someone, or we fear we're going to push someone away, or that they're going to judge me. But really, it's, do we value other people's opinion too much? In society today, there's this thought, there's this idea that, well, if you really love somebody, you won't say anything to them. You're like, what you believe, you know, you believe what you believe, and they can believe what they believe, and you don't want to offend them by telling them that they're wrong, by telling them the truth. Now, there's a difference. You know, sometimes I think in Christianity, we like to take the Bible and beat someone down with the truth and win an argument. Like, there's a big difference in that, in sharing the love of God compassionately because you love someone, because you're ultimately worried where they're going to spend eternity. Don't be the angry Christian that has to win the argument, right? Like, that's not what we're talking about. That is not being done out of love. And if that's the case, you ought to examine your own heart. But if we're genuinely concerned about someone, if we genuinely love someone, why are we so worried about what they think? You know, if you love somebody, maybe if you didn't even love them, like, you'd probably do this for somebody you didn't even know, but if you really love someone and you saw that they were getting ready to get hit by a bus, like, you would do anything you could, right? Even if they didn't, like, they were like, I'm not going to get hit by a bus. But you knew they were going to get hit by a bus. Like, they couldn't see this bus coming, and they were going to get hit by it. And they're arguing with you. You would do, at the end of the day, you'd do anything you could, right? We'd tackle them. We would push them out of the way. We would do whatever we could to make sure that they didn't get hit by the bus. But something much more serious than getting hit by a bus, something that has eternal consequences, forever consequences, we're worried we're going to offend them, or that we're worried that they may think differently of us. There's people we know, there's people that we work with, there's people we live with, there's people that we see every day, there's people probably sitting in this room right now who just aren't sure. They've decided that either Jesus isn't for them, or that they don't need Jesus. And that's okay. I mean, we respect them. We love them. But actually, it's really not okay, is it? Or it shouldn't be. Not if we really love them. You see, there's a fundamental difference. There's a clear distinction in what we believe. You see, as a Christian, we believe that apart from Christ, I'm not a good person. And we've done things that are offensive to God, right? God says, you haven't obeyed all of my commands. And some of the people, they believe, well, I'm a good person. They believe they're a good person, and that God looks at you and says, you know what? You're good. That's a big difference. We also believe, what? That there's consequences for breaking those laws. That's called sinning. We also believe that God loved us so much that instead of punishing us for those sins, he sent his son to pay that penalty for us so that we could spend eternity with him. Some believe, right? Some believe I'm okay, I'm good. I've lived a better life than most. My good outweighs my bad. And those are big differences. So should we just pretend that everything is okay and that and let someone, you know, is it okay as believers to be worried that somebody's going to judge us or somebody's going to think differently of us if we truly believe that if they go to the grave, they're going to be separated from God for eternity? Because we're afraid to speak the truth in love to someone. We're worried about what they're going to think of us. And they've got you know where they're going. And I know that I've been guilty of that. I know there's been opportunities where God has put people in my life where I've chosen not to speak up. And it's like, oh, we know the good news. Why are we so afraid? The reality is that fear keeps us from doing lots of awesome things, right? It keeps us from sharing, from giving, from serving, from going. You know, oftentimes we get these opportunities to do one of those things, and we start asking, what if, right? Well, what if this happens, or what if that happens? I hear it all the time. Like, we were going to take our, we took the basketball kids to the Guatemala, and there was all this fear from these parents, you know, what if this happens, or what if this happens? And it's like, yeah. You know, what if we get hit by a bus walking down the street today? There's all these what ifs. And if you really think about it, the only really what if that matters is, what if I die today and I stood before God? If I died right now and I had to stand before God, is he going to say, look at all these great things you could have done if you would have just trusted me? Instead, you played it safe. Instead, you were afraid. Instead, you bought into the lie that Satan whispered into your ear. I love that last song. That last song they sang, that fear is a liar. It is a liar. What happens when we aren't fearful? What happens when we become bold? Turn to Acts 4:13, if you would. So this is Peter and John, and they're standing before the Sanhedrin. They're not happy with them, but they're talking to him. And what it says is, it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They saw they were ordinary and unschooled, but they saw the courage of Peter and John, and they were astonished. When was the last time that somebody was astonished with your courage? Like, think about that. I'm trying to think. Like, I don't know if anybody's ever been like, oh, man, he's super courageous. Maybe my wife, whenever we thought somebody was breaking in and I'm running around in my underwear trying to look for people, maybe she was astonished, but that's about it. When was the last time someone was astonished from seeing your courage? You know, how different would our church look if we stopped being afraid and started being bold? How different would our workplace look? How different would our schools look? How different would our homes look, our communities? Oh, yeah. Keep going. Okay, Psalm 23. So we're not going to break this passage down, but this is, you could preach for 3 weeks straight on this, or we probably did. We probably preach on it for a month when we can do Psalms, but I just want to read it real quick. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Like, that's, everybody knows that. If you've spent much time in church, you've probably heard that. Even if you haven't, you've probably seen it, heard it quoted on movies, whatever. I want you to look at, it says, for you are with me. Like, we know, if you've been here, you know that Christ actually lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us, right? That he is with us, that God is with us. How much more bold and courageous would be if we really live like life like that? Like, if God, if we could physically see God standing right here, how much more bold, like, would you be afraid to do anything? Like, the God of who created the universe is standing right here, and he's like, I got you, let's go do this. Like, would you be afraid to walk anywhere? Would you be afraid to do anything? No. But yet, that is where he's at. He's right here. He's actually closer than that. Like, his power lives in us. And yet we allow this fear, we allow the ultimate liar, we allow Satan to whisper these things in our ears that we're not good enough, or we're not smart enough, or we're not whatever enough. And so we don't do it, and we miss out on all these amazing opportunities. But if we will live our life, that doesn't mean that That doesn't mean that there's not going to be, right? It doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. That doesn't mean that he's going to walk beside us and there's not going to be things that are scary, right? But it just means that he's going to walk alongside of us. And then when we get to the other side, we can look back and say, see, it wasn't that bad. I love Matt Chandler says that he gave an illustration in one of the sermons. He said, you know, in 20,000 years, we will look back. We'll be in heaven celebrating with the King of Kings. How silly is it to think that we're going to look back 20,000 years from now and think, I was afraid of that. Like, there is nothing that we're going to look back on and say that was a legitimate fear. Nothing else matters. I love that illustration, that nothing else matters. Oh, yeah, that wasn't done either. You prepare a table for me. Sorry, Bri. Just the rest of that verse. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Again, I could have just broke this passage down and talked about fear. But I just want you to get the overall understanding that there is a peace of walking with God and being with God and spending time with God. That if you want peace, if you want to do away with fear and anxiety, like, you're not going to do it on your own. You're not going to do it with some self-help book. That you do it by spending time with him and understanding the truth that God is good and that he's walking with us. And then if you'll live in that truth, there's nothing that you can't accomplish. This week, I just want to encourage you all is to first just get real with yourself. Get real with yourself and God. Stop lying to yourself that you're not afraid. Have some honest conversation with God and just admit, God, you know what? I struggle with this. I place too high of a value on this. I'm afraid of losing this. And just ask for forgiveness and for putting those, you know, God, I put these things ahead of you. I put too much importance on these things, and I just want to lay these at your feet. And then ask him for boldness. Ask him for fearlessness. To live your life not in fear, but of this courageous warrior that you've got the King of Kings, you've got the Creator of the universe standing right here beside you, and there's nothing that you can't do. You know, every week we walk out of here, we hear awesome teaching, we hear great stuff, and but the reality is that this is just a time to get together, to worship, to get a piece of the puzzle, but really, the church is what happens, what, after we leave here. If we take all this and we don't do anything with it, like, it's all wasted. I want to challenge you guys this week to look for opportunities to be bold. Look for opportunities to be fearless. Be mindful of those that you work with, that you live with, that maybe they're in here. Look for those opportunities to have conversation. And again, we do it out of love, not out of anything else other than you love them. I guarantee if we will look for those opportunities, we will see them everywhere. Did you put up Romans 8:38? So this is the last verse I want to leave you with. It just says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I read that every time. We've unpacked that passage several times throughout the years. And every time I read that, I am so stinking encouraged. I'm just like, man. Like, nothing I do, nothing I'm going to do, nothing anybody else does, nothing that Satan does or says to me or throws in my life is going to ever separate us from the love of God. How awesome is that? How amazing is that? How much strength, how much courage does that give you? How much encouragement does that give you? If we lived our life with this truth of understanding this, I'm telling you, fear and anxiety goes away and boldness comes out. And our families will be changed, our lives will be changed, our communities will be changed, our schools. And so, I just want to encourage you, I want to challenge you guys with that. That's all I got. Let's stand up. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to come before you as believers and just say you are awesome. That you've given us the truth. You've given us mouths to speak and feet to walk and hands to use and I just want to ask for forgiveness that we don't use those enough, Lord. And I want to ask that this church, that the people in this room would be bold, that we would not fear anyone other than you, that we would be reminded that you are with us all the time, that you have given us the strength and the power to share your good news, and that you have commanded us not to be afraid. I pray for our kiddos, fear doesn't escape anyone, Lord, and so I just ask that any fear that anyone here is struggling with, I just ask that you would overcome that. I pray that they would come to you with that and that you would just fill them with the truth and that ultimately they would come to know and trust you and love you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this day. We thank you for an awesome Sunday. And we just love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, every day, every week, we break it down. Again, I never got to do this, so it's exciting. I get to say, finally, the guys who should get to break it down, the old linemen. All right, on the count of, this is why we don't get to do it. All right, what do we say? Ready? All right, thank you, guys.